If you open, turn your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 22. The title of the message tonight is Living in Exile. Living in Exile. Last week, if you remember, we talked some yesterday or last Sunday morning about the power of one-on-one evangelism, if you remember the message. And you know, it's amazing the difference one conversation can make. And it makes it exciting to be a Christian because you never know when you're going to engage somebody. I think, for me, the scripture that comes to mind is the woman at the well. But for maybe, there's many other examples in scripture of that where one conversation, one interaction, a person's life has changed forever. So we talked about that some last week, and I think that's exciting. That's what makes me excited about this church and about us going out and sharing our testimonies and sharing the gospel with others is you never know what might happen. You never know if someone's life might be changed. And then last Sunday night, we talked about another world. We talked about how that as we think about eternity, and you know, there's so much fascination today with other worlds and things like sci-fi movies and books and things like that. But we talk about, and within this church, another world that's real, that is not something fictional. It is nonfiction. It is real. And so tonight, we're going to be, I guess, talking about that a little bit tonight, but really, the theme of tonight is looking at our church changing locations, moving across the highway this coming week. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, this has been a big month. It's been only a month since we found out about the property and the situation with that, and so a lot has changed, a lot has happened. And you know, I think about different accounts in Scripture, and I want to read this account right here, and then we're going to come back to this in just a minute. And so, if you will, stand in honor of God's words to read this together in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. Listen close to what the Bible says here. This is a very familiar story. This is at the conclusion of the temptation that takes place in the Garden of Eden when man falls, Adam and Eve, into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They fall, and they are being removed from the garden here. And so listen close to the scripture here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we thank you, God, once again for this night. We pray, God, your blessing upon your word now as it's been read. That, God, we would take to heart what this scripture is teaching us and telling us, and also what it represents even in our lives tonight. That, God, we recognize that a serious change has occurred for humanity in our world. That, God, when we fail, Father, we fail a great distance. And God, we want to think about that a little bit tonight in light of the things we have going on as a church. And I pray, God, that you would just allow this message to come together, Father, that you could speak to our hearts, prepare our hearts, God, for the days ahead and what you've called us to do as Christians. And that, Lord, we would be challenged, Father, about what we go over tonight, Lord, in this message. And I just want to thank you once again, Father, for this privilege. Thank you once again for this church, God, and pray your blessing upon it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. So over the last month, I've been thinking a lot about the different accounts in Scripture. And it's amazing, as you start to study God's Word, you find yourself in situations where you think, man, this account back in the Old Testament somewhere really applies to this situation. You know, and in Scripture, you know, think about stories like David and Goliath. That's a historical account of something that really happened. But yet we can... Well, there's lessons to be learned from that. That it's not, you know, it's who the Lord is with. I could think that if you could write some words over that encounter between David and Goliath, between this young, almost young boy, this young man, and this great warrior, and you see how that transpires, I think about what Paul writes much later when he says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" You know, I think about how that there's application of God's Word to these historical events. Now, over the last month, there's been several events that have come to my mind. And several things about the history of Israel. And I think I was sharing with Justin and maybe a few others that when we were first presented with the option of purchasing this building, it was touch and go. Even up until maybe, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, we didn't know if it was going to happen. Last week, we didn't know if it was going to happen or not. You know, there were some other things. There were a lot of things that had to align for this to happen and for it to happen at this time. And so, you know, as I said, you know, things were very, could go either way. And I think I was telling Justin, I can remember talking to him in particular about this, but I told him, I was like, you know, you rush up to this point, and you feel like God has led you to the point that you're at, and then you come to kind of a fork in the road. I kind of think about the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt during the time of the Exodus, and they run up to the Red Sea. They have an army pursuing behind them, coming to destroy them or to drag them back into slavery, and they run up there to the Red Sea, and they just stand there. How long did they stand there? Waiting for something to happen. Nate thinks he knows, but he doesn't, because nobody knows. We don't know how long they were there. But I told Justin, I said, I wonder how long they stood there, because you're looking at probably over 1 million people coming, this huge people group coming out of Egypt, and they come up here to the Red Sea, and it's kind of like, what's the plan now? Now what are we going to do? Has God really led us to this point? You know, and people are beginning to panic, saying, you know, you brought us down here to get us killed? We're going to be destroyed. You know, we've come this far, and now what happens? And so I've been thinking about events like that, and it's, you know, basically I was just telling several people, if God doesn't open the door, it's done. We can't do anything. God has to intervene in this situation. There's things that are so far out of our control, we have no control. We can't cause it to go one way or the other. It is in the control of many other people, and ultimately in God's control. If He wants this to happen, it'll happen. If He doesn't, it won't. And so you just stand there and wait. And it's amazing. I don't think anyone could have imagined what was going to happen next when God basically, you know what He says to them? I encourage you to go back and read it in the book of Exodus. But basically, Moses begins to pray to God and say, God, you know, what do you want us to do? He says, keep going. It's almost like, what do you mean? What do you, keep going. Well, there's a sea in front of us. You know, we can't breathe underwater. Just keep going. And so Moses declares to people and says, behold the salvation of the Lord. And he says, he just opens it up. And they walk right across. That's the kind of way that God works, where you just say, this isn't going to happen. And then it happens. And there's a lot of applications there. I think about, you know, the children of Israel, and they're in bondage for 400 years, 430 years. They've been crying out for deliverance. Guess what they're thinking at that point? It ain't going to happen. It will never happen. And then just like that, a man named Moses shows up and the impossible happens and they walk out of Egypt just the way God declared that they would. And so I think about these stories and I know that you know, this isn't a direct application, but I know that there are some parallels here that I think of. And as I think about that, you know, there are several times that Israel was displaced during their time as a nation. You think about even Abraham. Abraham was a nomad. His entire life. They were just, God called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He comes down into the land of Canaan and he just travels around. He's a nomad. But there's a land that is promised to Abraham. And so, but you find several times that this nation that is born from Abraham through Isaac and then through Jacob, or who's later named Israel, the children of Israel that come from this family, starts off as a nation of 70 people, which is just a tiny little group of people. But God makes of them a great nation. But that nation, several times, they're displaced. I think about the fact that they spent 430 years in the land of Egypt. They weren't Egyptians. They were Hebrews. And they were living in a foreign land for centuries. And God calls them back out. Many years after that, over 1,000 years after that, we find that Israel has rebelled against God. They turn their back on God. They're worshiping other idols. They're forgetting the Sabbath, as Justin talked about several Sunday nights ago. That Israel has just completely rebelled against God. And God says, that's it. You're going into exile. The land that I promised you, promised to your fathers, the land that I've given you, I'm taking it back because you are not maintaining the land the way that you promised that you would. He takes it back and they go into Babylon for 70 years. They spend more than a generation. They spend 70 years in a foreign land in exile. So Israel, at different times in their history, they spend times in exile, and then they spend times when they return home. When God will allow them to come back home. But the concept of home is a tough thing. It's tough to think about. When we think about what home represents, and what it represented for Israel, what it represents for us, it's a location that you are familiar with. It's somewhere you feel comfortable, somewhere you belong, somewhere you feel safe. And our decision to move the place where we meet from this location here to a location across the highway has a lot to do with our church home. As we were making this decision, I was largely thinking about the future of this church. I was thinking about some of our young folks, some of which I think are napping over here and napping here. I haven't lost my touch, so that's good. I think about these guys, you know, and I feel a tremendous responsibility to the young, to the kids of this church, to be thinking not just about my future, but their future, which is going to be a lot longer than my future. It's going to extend beyond mine. And so largely what this is motivated by is thinking about the future of this church, the future for the kids of this church to have a future home church to attend. Now, I'll tell you what was so tough about this decision for me, I think for many people here, is I feel like I'm taking some people's homes away. And that's tough. That required a lot of prayer, saying, God, I feel like in order to help secure a home for the future, I have to disrupt some homes now. And that was heartbreaking. I mean, I felt extremely torn. There are people in this church, raise your hand if you've attended this church for over 50 years. And I know you're going to be somewhat telling your age. I see a couple here. Brenda, raise your hand. What? You haven't? I think so. I see several hands here, even tonight. You know, we're down a little bit tonight, but I see several hands here. People who've attended this church for 50 years. This is home. This is home. And so I'm torn as I think about that, about the decision that God, you know, God has a way of putting you in a tough situation where you're saying, man, what do we need to do? It's not an easy decision. If some of those people, I told them about the situation, they said, you know, I told them about we had been talking about a new building for some time. We really started researching it in the spring, and we got, you know, some bad news that we're looking at, I mean, probably $800,000, $1 million to build a building up here in our new property. And then suddenly this comes kind of just out of nowhere, a building for whatever, $40 a square foot. And, you know, we're looking at the building cost would be $100 a square foot or more. It would probably go above that. And then to purchase a building being $40 a square foot. A lot of people say that's a no-brainer. Of course you need to do it. But it's not a no-brainer. It's a tough decision. It was a very tough decision. And as I think about that, I think about the fact of home being kind of a tough concept. Because there are people that could come into this church right now that maybe they grew up in this church and they've been gone for 20 or 30 or 40 years. If they were to come into this church tonight, there would be a lot of things that would be very familiar to them. They'd recognize maybe the pews and the pulpit and some different things and some faces here. But in a lot of ways, it would be different, wouldn't it, from what they had remembered. In some ways it would feel like home, and in some ways it wouldn't. And why do I say that? Because time changes things.
Amen.
There's an old saying that says, you can never go home again. You've heard that saying before? And you say, well, what does that mean to say you can never go home again? You can go back to where you grew up. But when you go back, it's not the same place. It's different. Because time changes everything in this world. Next Sunday, as we meet at a building that I really believe God has blessed us with and opened up doors for us to be in, things are going to feel a little different. Things are going to feel a lot different. It's going to feel like we're not at our home church. But tonight, as I look over this congregation, I look around this room, in some respects, I don't feel like I'm at my home church right now.
Amen.
Do you know what I'm saying? When Pat was singing earlier, you know, I can remember back to Pat not being a soloist. I remember her being part of a trio. Mm-hmm. You remember those days? And they didn't sing up here. They sang back at the back of the church. They sit back there with Lisa Fee, who I guess hasn't been a member here for 20 years, and with Pat's mom, Miss Steele, who passed away. How many years has it been about, Pat?
20.
Over 20 years? About 20 years? Time changes things, doesn't it? I could walk up and down these pews. I've been a member at this church now for over 20 years myself. And I could go up and down these pews and I could say, here's who's sitting here now, who used to sit there. And I could rattle off a couple of names of people that used to... I can picture people in different seats here and where their location was. And they're not here tonight. They're not here tonight for a number of different reasons. People move away. People die. Things change. Time changes things. And in a lot of ways, as we think about this property, 419 South Farnham Street is not going to feel like home. But 860 Marble Hill Road also in a lot of ways doesn't feel like home. Things have changed a lot. And this feeling is a reminder of something that we're looking at tonight in Scripture, that we are exiles in this world.
Amen.
We're exiles here. Folks, nothing feels like home. The house where I'm going to leave the church tonight, I'm going to go home. It's home. I mean, I thank God for my house, for my home. But it's a different home than what I had 5 years ago. It's a different home than what I had 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Things have changed. And I can go back to different... I drive by certain houses. I used to live just maybe a mile down from where this new church is, and over on South Farnham Street. And I drive by there now and I can remember, but it's completely different than what it was then. There's different places. When I think about home, I can go back to different locations where I grew up, but it's not home anymore. Because folks, we're exiles in this world. And an exile is someone who is displaced. Someone who is, almost you can imagine, a refugee or someone who has been displaced from their country. That's how every person in this room sits here tonight. We're exiles. We have been exiled from our home. That's what Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. Israel, even when they were down in Egypt and they came up into the land of Canaan, they still were not at home. They were troubled. You look at the book of Judges, they were constantly persecuted by the Philistines and the Ammonites, and all these different people groups were coming in and troubling them. They didn't feel safe. There wasn't security. There wasn't comfort there. They were still on a battlefield for their entire history. The Assyrians come down. The Babylonians come down. They're always under attack. They're under Roman rule, Greek rule. All these different nations are ruling over them. It's still not home, even when they're in their country. It's the same way for us tonight. You find this scripture here in Genesis chapter 3. It tells us where home is. Home is the presence of God.
Amen.
Home, and we can feel the presence of God here tonight. It makes me homesick for being in the very presence of God in a much different and greater way than what we experienced tonight. But folks, that's the earnest of our inheritance. That inheritance to come, that future to come, He gives us the Spirit now. We meet here like this and we think about home. We sing about our home, not in this world. That's what I think on tonight, is that our whole human race is a race of exiles. We live in a world of constant flux. Things are always changing. Always changing. Nothing remains the same. People move. As I said earlier, people get sick. People die. There is nothing that is certain here. Folks, this world is not our home. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13. This is how the author, he's finishing out the book of Hebrews, and he's talking to a persecuted group of Christians. Listen to how he closes out his message to them, his sermon to them, in Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse 13. This is encouraging us to go outside the camp with Jesus Christ to suffer reproach. Listen to what it says here in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 13. Let me start in verse 12. It says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." Now this is what it tells us to do. This is what Christ did for us. But listen, well, this is what we're to do. "Let us go therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." That's the position we find ourselves in tonight.
Amen.
Folks, this move that we're going to undertake this next week, this change of location, ultimately it's about our home. It is about our home. My home is with the Lord. And it's described briefly over in Revelation chapter 21 through 22. Listen to what it says here. This is describing home. Listen to this. In Revelation chapter 21, I'm going to read from both chapters just a little bit. This is John writing. He's seeing this at the conclusion of all things. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold,'" listen to this, "'the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." That's when we're home.
Amen.
Not until then. Not one day until then. Folks, I'm an exile here. Because see, in the land that I'm going to be going to, nobody's going to be sick. My mom's in the hospital right now. She has terrible health. What might not be a very serious thing for me or you is a very serious thing for her. You don't know what might happen. In the land where I'm going, no one's going to be sick. We pray for those who are sick, those who are suffering right now. Dina attended a funeral yesterday for Sierra Blackburn. How old was Sierra Blackburn? 23 years old, died of cancer. That doesn't happen in my home, but it happens here. Folks, in this world, every time I preach at funeral, I always want to emphasize this point. This is unnatural. It's unnatural for a person to be in the room with you and then leave their body to remain there, but they're gone. That's a very unnatural thing. People cry out and say, "You know, it's not supposed to be this way." They're exactly right. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Folks, because of sin, that's the way life is. We are exiled. We are separated from God.
Right.
Folks, it's a terrible condition. It really is. We're exiles today. We're reminded of that from time to time. As things change, as we look around, even tonight, we see the faces that are not here tonight, who used to be here, we're reminded that things change. We live in a world, we live in a land of exile. I want to read this next scripture in Revelation chapter 22. Listen to this. Listen to how it relates to what we read earlier in Genesis chapter 3. That's why I want to read this scripture in 22. Listen to this in verse 3. "And there shall be no more curse." It's going back. It's a restoration. But folks, it's even greater than being restored to the Garden of Eden. We're going to be called the children of God. Adam was God's creation, and he was created in God's image, but he will not know that relationship and that fellowship that you and I know. We are going to be restored, but it's going to be even beyond that.
Amen.
The curse is gone. The curse is lifted. Listen to what it says next. "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there." It's so different from what we experience here. "And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign," listen to this, "forever and ever."
Amen.
It will not change.
Amen.
Folks, I think we're going to increase and increase. And in this life, we are all right now in this room. Those who are here, those who are not here, we're on a steady state of decline. But folks, when we get there, it's going to be on a steady state of incline. Folks, it's going to be changeless. There's not going to be anything that gets worse. It's just going to get better and better and better. As we sang earlier, "Amazing Grace," we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. That is what we're talking about. That's what our home is like. That's what we were made for. We're exiled from that home. Folks, this move is about our home. I have a home in heaven with the Lord. I have a home in heaven with the Lord, and I will go there one day. And this is what this move is about. I want other people to go with me.
Amen.
To that home.
Amen.
My greatest fear, my greatest prayer is I don't want anyone to be eternally exiled.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of hell, there's so many different things that come to mind. And one thing that comes to mind, I think about hopelessness. I think about loneliness. Folks, I think about being exiled. I think about being exiled, separated from God for all eternity. That can't happen. I don't want anybody
Amen.
To be stuck in exile forever.
Amen.
I have a heavenly home. I thank God for that, and I'm content with that to a degree. But folks, I want other people to have a heavenly home too. I didn't always have one, and it was in a church where I heard the gospel and I got saved.
Amen.
And I thank God for that, and I want us to be a church where people can hear the gospel and they can have a heavenly home too.
Amen.
Where when tragedy comes, when a person dies of cancer, even at a young age, it's okay. It's hard. It's heartbreaking. It is, in many ways, a tragedy, but it's okay because they have a hope in heaven. They have a home in heaven. They're leaving this land of exile. Hey, they're not dying. They're not suffering. They're not going away. They're going home. I want every funeral that we hold to be a homegoing, a homecoming. I don't want it to be a permanent state of exile forever. Folks, that's where this church comes in. That's where the future of this church comes in. And I want to see other people's futures change through this church. As we get a song tonight, I'm going to ask Bill and Justin to come, musicians to come. And I'm going to ask you to stand if you will.